Hello. Good morning. It's so nice to be back in the church I grew up in. I'm Emily, and this is Joe. Our three-year-old son is hanging out with Carol Herbst right now. We're also having another baby in April. So we've been serving with Wycliffe Bible Translators in Cameroon for the past 2 years, and now we're here on home assignment for a little while. I wanted to take a minute to explain our outfits to you. These are the traditional outfits of the Northwest region of Cameroon. To wear their outfits brings them a lot of honor and it makes them feel really special, which is why we wear them. These are pretty cool. They're hand-stitched. It took the seamstress 3 weeks just to make his shirt. So they're pretty cool outfits.
All right, so just to give you a little bit of a background on Wycliffe, if we could go to the next slide here. Wycliffe Bible Translators was founded on the principle that the Bible needed to be available in everyone's heart language. That's the language that they were born speaking, the language they think in, the language they dream in. There have been many instances all over where people have their heart language and maybe know a national language, but really can't understand the Bible in that national language. And they found that it's much more effective in, if it's in their heart language. There's over 7,000 languages in the world, and many of those still don't have any scripture in a language that they can clearly understand. And we feel very passionate about ending Bible poverty in the world. And that's why we joined with Wycliffe. In Cameroon alone, there are 275 languages, 80 of which are still waiting for a translation project to be started. So we felt a call to Cameroon to go and help with those projects. Next slide. So a lot of people have asked me what translations are you working on, and I often say that I work at the headquarters in Cameroon, and I support the work of Bible translation through the gift that God gave me, and that's working with computers and helping people. All the translation work nowadays is done on computers and laptops, and they're always coming in from the village with broken computers and need help in order to be able to continue their work. They need good internet, which isn't always easy to find in Cameroon. But I'm very blessed to be able to use my skills to support this work. My main title over there is network administrator. Titles are very important in Cameroon. As you can see from one of these pictures, I was asked to help install some equipment at a church, and they had no scaffolding until I arrived, and they said, "We'll have it ready in 20 minutes. And as you can see, the work isn't always OSHA approved. So I was definitely praying to God to keep me safe. Another really cool project I got to work on was another missionary up in the Northwest had a whole team of Bible translators working on 6 different projects at once. They were all similar languages. And they were in a remote part of the country and couldn't come to get their computers worked on. And she asked me if I would be willing to travel up there to spend a week working on a list of their problems. And I'm glad that I started right when I got there, because the list they gave me was extensive. And, by the grace of God, I was able to at least get them up and moving better than they were. And another cool side project I got to work on, the aviation department is on the military base, and there was a big training exercise going on, so hundreds of soldiers were there, and they had the opportunity to share the Jesus film in French with a lot of the soldiers, and so I got to help set up with that. But it was really cool to see. I didn't attend it because it was kind of a private thing, but all the soldiers were... There were hundreds of soldiers that we crammed in that little room, and we ended up not using the chairs. We they all sat in each other's laps pretty much with their guns strapped on their back and watched the Jesus film. But, all right. Next.
So my main job while we were there was watching Joseph because he was only a year old when we got there. But as he got a little bit older, I started helping at the Mission Elementary School. I helped with kids that needed extra help outside the classroom, which was really exciting for me to be able to help kids that needed help that didn't always get the help they needed because we're often short-staffed. But also, they figured out that I am crafty, and when missionaries figure out you have a skill, they take advantage of that. So this tree you see up here, it's made from fabric, and I got to help make that for our conference we have once a year where all the missionaries from all over the country join in one place, and we get to talk and fellowship and study the Word of God. And that fabric there, I got to help design for our 50th anniversary. S.I.L. Wycliffe has been in Cameroon for 50 years, and so it was a really big deal with a big celebration, and it was a little intimidating for me to design a fabric, but it was pretty cool to watch everybody wear it. So in Cameroon, when there's a big celebration, everybody wears matching fabric, and so there's just this sea of people wearing this fabric of mine. It was cool. I am the wife of a network administrator.
It says that on her citizen card, or our visitor card, and our son has one, and his title is Son of Network Administrator. So. All right. There's a story that we had been told to share with people before we went to Cameroon, and it was a story we really liked, but we didn't realize it was from Cameroon until we were actually in country. And that's the story of the Yambeta people of Cameroon. His name's Leonard Boliki. He was a pastor in the village of Yambeta many years ago. Every year he would tell the Easter story on Easter in French to his village. And that would be his annual thing. But one year he decided, I really want to be able to share this story in Yambeta, in the heart language of those people. And so he set out to do that. He, you know, figured out how to tell that story in Yambeta, and he did. And afterwards, people came up to him, and they asked him, "That was an amazing story. How come you have never shared this with me before?" And he says, "Well, I share it every year. I just share it in French." And it was at that point that he really saw that there was a big need to get God's word into Yambeta so that they could actually understand. And he later used the analogy that having the Bible in French was like eating soup with a fork. You kind of get a taste of what it's saying, but you don't get nourished by it. So he went down to the capital city and got training from SIL on how to become a translator, and went back to his village and started working on that. He did it part-time because he still had to work and support his family, and it took him 30 years to finish the New Testament. But it just so happened that when we were in Cameroon was when they did the official dedication for the New Testament there. So I can happily say the New Testament has come to the Yambeta people. Yeah. And we got to attend the dedication, and we have a little video to share just about that dedication. It was really amazing to be able to attend that dedication and just see the joy on people's faces when they held that Bible in their hand in their own language. It was wonderful to hear them sing in their own language. Afterward, everyone, we all feasted together. Many local delicacies, including porcupine. That was a first for me. But it was just a really special opportunity.
So where we lived in Cameroon, we lived in the capital city, but we also lived inside a compound where there were lots of other missionaries. There were 24 little houses inside our walled place. So it allowed the kids to play freely in the middle. And so it was really fun to watch kids of all ages play with each other and protect each other and just grow into a really beautiful community. So in Cameroon, you can't just go to Walmart and buy a Christmas tree. So I had to make one out of paper. You got to get creative, you know. Also, last year during the elections, we weren't allowed to leave our place because there was a little bit of unrest and uncertainty with the election. And so us moms had to gather the children and try to find fun activities for them to do. And so one of them was they asked me to draw this mural, and it took me 11 hours to draw it. But then it took the kids 3 days to paint it. So it was a great way to distract them from what was going on around us. And they said it was the best vacation they ever had. So that made us feel good because we did our job because they weren't worried.
So going, they wanted us to keep about a month's worth of food in our house at all times just in case there was a problem and we couldn't leave. And it was a little different than shopping here. You really have to plan ahead. We had to call a taxi and reserve him for, you know, X amount of hours. There was a Indian-run grocery store that had a lot of French products there that we would buy. And then we would have to go to a butcher to get our meat. And our house help would go and get us fresh fruits and vegetables once a week. But we had to soak those in bleach water for 20 minutes in order to kill any bacteria that might be on there. So that was definitely a different experience than we had previously. The picture in the middle there, my dress shoes had worn out over there, my cheap Walmart shoes. And so I asked our friend Moses, he was a taxi driver, I said, where can you go to get shoes? And so he took me to this Payless here in the middle. In one of the markets, and they had me sit down, and he asked me what I was looking for, and he brought me shoes to try on. And it's actually, I ended up getting these pair of shoes I'm wearing now. And it was great. It was a good price. I knew they were probably lightly used, but they looked in pretty good condition. So the next day, I wore them on my walk to work, and about halfway through the walk, the sole came off of the shoe and just completely separated, and I was like, what is this? And so I somehow managed to get to the office, and I asked my manager, who's a Cameroonian, if he had heard of anything like that, and he was like, you mean you didn't take it to a shoe guy to get sewn after you bought them? Apparently, when they get these shoes, they don't want to have the extra expense of having them sewn together. And so that's your responsibility. And I had no idea that was a thing. And why would I? But so I had to take them to a shoe guy, and a couple days later they were in perfect shape. And they're great now, but it's definitely not what you would expect to happen. All right, next slide. So in Cameroon, we had our professional roles, and it's easy for a missionary there to just have that be the only thing that you do. You go to work, you come home, and that's it. We decided that we really wanted to get out of our little community and make relationships with Cameroonians. We set out not to just do our professional roles, but they said it was uncommon to be able to make a relationship with a Cameroonian, at least in the first year, because it took a lot of time building trust. But praise God, we made a few friends over there that we really became close with. The people up here, Martin and Blessing. Martin was a guard at the first apartment compound that we lived at, and he figured out that Joseph liked apples, so he would bring him apples sometimes when he was doing his rounds. And we just built up that relationship with him. He invited us to his house. We got to know him and his family. I would say a good portion of Cameroonians are rather poor. Martin was on the lower end of poor. He was the youngest of 56 children. His father was a lesser chief in the village, and he had 11 wives. And he passed away when he was really young. And when he did, all the children scattered. And we feel, you know, it's the siblings' job to raise the younger ones. And he really didn't get that kind of head start in life. And we took it upon ourselves to kind of take him in and help him figure out how to be successful, how to take care of his family. They recently had a baby who was a little malnourished, and we just were able to help them. They were in a living situation where another missionary had helped them to find an apartment, but because the missionary showed up to help them, they racked the price up because they were like, oh, you have a white friend, you can afford a lot of money. And so it was just a rough situation. He was making $50,000 a month in that currency. It's about $100. And rent was $40,000. So he didn't have a lot left to take care of his family. One Christmas we had them over, both Christmases actually, but you can see the joy on their faces. This is the first time their kids had ever gotten any kind of toy gift. And it was just really amazing to be able to love on them. We didn't want to just give them money to help them. We wanted to help them be self-sufficient. We helped them get into an apartment they could afford and helped them find some work that could help them in the long term. And so it's hard being away from them right now because we miss them and we want to be able to keep up on them. But it was a privilege. And that picture in the bottom right is their new apartment. It's just one room, but they were able to section it off and make good use out of it, and it was something they could definitely afford. But.
So this beautiful... Oh, next slide. This beautiful family is another friend of ours. She was... So in Cameroon, everyone has a house help. It's part of the culture. At first, I was a little unsure about it because I never had someone in my house helping me, but everybody does it, so it's the thing to do. So because I'm home with Joseph a lot, I got to know a lot of the ladies that work at our compound, and Nicolene worked in the apartment directly facing us, so I got to spend a lot of time with her and found out that she was a really great woman of faith, and she taught me a lot. She was really involved in our church. Like, they would have weeks of praying at church and fasting, and she really, amazing woman. But after knowing her for a while, she told me that she was pretty sick. She had some fibroids in her uterus, but couldn't afford the surgery. In Cameroon, they will not provide you health care unless you pay ahead of time. So she had been gathering money for this surgery for over a year and was getting sicker, and we could tell she was getting sicker and she wasn't able to come to work as often. And so us and a few other families helped to raise the money for her to have her surgery, and when they removed the mass, it was the size of a baby, and if we had not helped her, she would have died. And so churches like you guys that help us help them, and it's just a privilege to be able to do something like that for people that could have never done it themselves. This little room you see in the bottom picture, that is her hospital room that she paid extra for. It's basically the size of a closet, but it was a better room because otherwise you're with everybody. So it helped her to keep from getting other illnesses while she was there healing. So. That's awesome. This is, okay, so when we first got to Cameroon, we had 3 weeks of training, of cultural training, And part of that was staying with a Cameroonian family so that we could get a taste of what it's really like to live in Cameroon. And for the people that we work with, Rebecca and her family there, we stayed with them and they became really, really good friends of ours and taught us a lot about the culture and would tell us when we were doing something wrong, which was extremely helpful. Because often they won't tell you, but they'll hold it against you. So knowing was great. We became such good friends that they actually took us to the village with them, and we got to see where they live. That's the picture with all of us standing there. And through the process of getting to know them, we found out Rebecca's niece, who's in the bottom two pictures, needed a job, and she became our house help and my very, very good friend. And when you have a good friend, you get matching outfits. So that's what that picture is. So we shared our fabric and got outfits that matched. So she was a very important person in our house, and we missed her a lot.
And pictures and us talking can only do so much justice to kind of paint a picture of what life was like in Cameroon. And so we made just a four-minute video to be able to give you kind of a feel of what daily life was in Cameroon, both at home and at the office. So we'd love to share that with you. It was a privilege to be able to be in Cameroon and to be able to share all that with you. We arrived back in the States in late June. We had been in Cameroon for what they call short term, which is a two-year term. We came back and had a period of readjusting, resting and readjusting to American culture. We weren't quite Cameroonian, and we came back and we're not quite American either. We're kind of in between, and it's hard to find that balance. But right now our job is called home assignment. They used to call it furlough. But they changed it because furlough kind of implies that you're just resting, which we're not. Our job right now is partnership development. That's bringing more partners and churches onto our team so that we can go back to Cameroon and support the work of Bible translation there. Next slide. We feel God calling us back to Cameroon. We recently made the transition from short-term to career missionaries. And because of that, they highly recommend that they added retirement into our budget. They don't want us to retire and not have anything to live on. The addition of another child coming brought our current need is 65%. And that's a monthly need. People in churches giving to us on a monthly basis, and we're very thankful that this is one of our partnering churches, and we're very happy. But Cameroon, the national language, at least in the region that we were in, was French. We found it really hard not being able to communicate with people in French. Out in the villages, they have all their local languages, but the majority of the people in the city, in the taxi, at the store, we really wanted to be able to talk with them, either business or personal, and build those relationships, and we couldn't do that. And so they recommend that before we return, we attend a French study program in a French-speaking country. And normally they send missionaries to France because there's a lot of French culture in Cameroon, and they want people to get used to that. However, we've been to Cameroon, and we know what the culture's like, and Emily went to college in Alberta, Canada, and we've always wanted to go to Canada, so we figured Quebec City was a great place to learn French. It's 94.6% French, so it's a very immersive experience. Our goal, and of course everything is in God's timing, but our goal is to start our French program either in the summer or the fall of this year. We have to be at a 100% monthly partnership in order to be able to go back, as well as all the one-time costs for whatever tuition is for French school. This means we need people in churches like this one to stand with us in financial partnership. And this, I would say, is our biggest prayer need right now. We would ask that you would keep us in prayer for this endeavor, that we would get back to 100%. One verse that we've held really close to our hearts in our Wycliffe ministry, you know, not really knowing where our support's going to come from, what's going to happen the next month if we're going to be able to afford to live. One verse we've held really close to our hearts is Philippians 4:6. Don't worry about anything. Instead, pray about everything. Tell God what you need and thank Him for all He has done. And we've prayed that prayer many times, and God has always provided for our needs. All right, last slide here. Next slide, yep. So we just wanted to thank you for having us come up here and share with you about our last 2 years in Cameroon and our future plans. We do have prayer cards in the hallway outside. You are welcome to take one to remember to pray for us. And our emails are on there if you ever want to send us an encouragement or connect with us. And we also have a sign-up sheet for if you want to get our email newsletter. We try to get one out every 1 or 2 months to kind of update people on what our prayer needs are, where we are, and what's going on in our ministry. And we'd be happy to get together with you after the service, too, if you have any questions. We'd love to share with you. But thank you, guys.
You guys can stay right here just for a second. We're going to close in prayer for you guys. It's amazing to actually have even whole young family units go on mission field, like especially full-time. So what you guys are doing with little ones is just such an amazing task in and of itself, just because of provision and just not knowing a lot of those unknowns and security, right, and all those other things. So it's a big deal, their venture that they're on right now. We just need to, you know, pray for the safety, pray for provision, obviously partner with them. They're wonderful people. I got to spend a lot of time sharing stories with them a couple of days ago, and it's a pleasure to have you guys. Always feel this is a home away from home whenever you guys are here. So I just want to just pray over them. You can feel free. Actually, you know, come and stay right here because some people like to come up and just place hands on people and pray. So if you do want to come up and just lay a hand on them while I pray for them and just to bless them on their journey. Are you guys leaving what day? Today? Okay, yeah. So if you do want to catch them afterwards, feel free at the fellowship time downstairs to reach out to them. So let's go ahead and pray. Father, I just, I love these two. The testimonies that are coming out of their experiences, I love their heart of even just wanting to go beyond the, maybe just the specific job, but to really meet with the people and really engage in the culture. I love what the Bible translation is doing there and amazing how to bring your word to the people so that the truth can set them free. So continue that powerful work through that Bible translation in all the countries that you're doing that work, but especially here in Cameroon with them and their journey. We do lift their needs before you. The schooling ahead, there's costs with that. This new baby coming, we just pray a blessed, healthy baby for her and them. And then, Lord, the journey back in your timing, in your way, we do pray for that 100% partnership. So they can go back and just do and live there in Cameroon doing your work. We are happy to be a partnering church with them. It's exciting to see that we're sharing in that work. These are stories of those of us that are praying and journeying with them. So bless their rest of their time here today as they head back to other places to share, and then their time in Canada. So we lift all these things to you in Jesus' name. Amen.